Okay, today's daf is Bav Metzia daf Pei. We are up to daf Pei. We're at the Mishnah on the very top of daf Pei Amud Aleph. Says the Mishnah, Sochras apara lachrush bahar v'charash bebika. If a person hires, rents a cow to plow in a mountainous area, and instead he uses that cow to pull a plow in a valley. So im nishpar akankan pater, if the kli that they use to plow breaks, the metal implement that gets stuck into the ground to pull up the ground and to plow it breaks, the person is going to be putter. Meaning the point is that generally speaking, mountainous regions are much more rocky, and if it was supposed to be able to survive a mountainous region, of course it would be able to survive a bika, a valley which is supposed to have much less rocks. And therefore, you're going to be putter because, adrabi, you were nicer to the animal than you should have been. This is a case where we consider that you were meshana, but you were meshana letov, you were meshana for the positive. However, says the Mishnah, Bibika v'charash bahar im nishpar kan kan chayiv. If you were supposed to use it in the bika, and instead you used it in the mountain, then you're going to be chayiv if it breaks, because then you put more pressure on the plow than you were supposed to. You're only supposed to use it in a bika, and you used it in the more rocky and more difficult mountainous area, and that's why you're going to be chayiv. Now, the Gemara, when it first starts, is going to discuss what happens if you were not mishana and it breaks. Who's going to be chayiv then? Meaning, what if you were supposed to use it in a bika, and you do use it in a bika, or you were supposed to use it in a mountain, and you do use it in a mountain, and then it breaks. Who's going to pay for the broken plow? So the Gemara discusses which worker that's dealing with the plow is going to pay for the broken plow. The question the Rishonim deal with is, when you are Mishana, let's say in the first case, where you're Mishana for the better, you make it easier on the plow. You go and you take it from the, instead of using it in the mountainous region, you use it in the Bika, we said you're Pater. Well, why don't we ask the same thing, that one of the workers should have to pay, meaning in this case as well, even when you're Mishana, but if the Shinoi was for the better, so it should be the same thing as when you're not Mishana at all, and granted, the Socher is not responsible, the Masker is not responsible, but one of the workers who's working the plow should have to pay. So the Nemuka Yosef explains that you have to assume that our mission is dealing with a case where the workers that are dealing with the plow are workers who are shayachim lemaskir. They're people who are associated with the maskir, and therefore the maskir can't ask for money from them because they're his guys. So he's not going to be able to ask for any money. But the Gemara is speaking about workers who are hired for this avoda, they're hired for this job. And therefore, if they're posheya on this job, you can ask them for money. And that's why the Gemara says that the workers are going to have to pay the money. Now, what does the Nemuka Yosef mean by that, though? That these workers in our Mishnah are associated with the maskir. In what way are they associated with the maskir? So Tosfos Yontif explains that what he means to say is that they're his children. They're banav ketanim, they're his young children, who aren't going to be chayiv in any sort of nezikin, so he has no one, so the maskir has no one to be toveh from, because it's his own young children who went and destroyed the plow. The Chidushei Mahariach on the Mishnayos explains that no, that these workers are schirei shana. These are people that you hire for a whole year of work, and you don't specify what work you want them to do. You just tell them, you're going to be my gophers, you're going to be my guys who I'm going to turn to for any type of work. So therefore, they're going to be putter, because they could tie in a look, we're not professional plowers. We don't really know this malacha so well. We just hired ourselves out to work for you for the year, to do our best at any job you decided to give us. But it doesn't make us pros, and therefore we're not going to be responsible for the broken plow, even though it was our fault, meaning had we known what we were doing, it probably wouldn't have broken, but still we're not going to be able to, those workers aren't going to have to pay. That's the case in our Mishnah. However, Bepashtus, the Biurei Hadaf points out in the footnotes, that Bepashtus, you could just say that the Nemuka Yosef is speaking about a case where the workers are the avadim of the maskir, and the avadim have no money of their own, so the maskir can't possibly sue them for the broken plows, because they have nothing. They don't own anything. They don't have any money. All their money is his money. So there's nothing to sue about. So that's what we have to assume the case is in the Mishnah. It's total ptur. No one's going to pay at all, because there's no one to pay over here. There's no one who's able to pay over here. But if you were to have workers who were negligent and were capable of paying on some level, so then of course they would pay, as the Gemara is going to say. Says the Mishnah Vayter, Lodush Pekitnis, Vidash Pitvua, if let's say you were supposed to have this animal thresh the beans, and instead you use it for grain. Now beans generally are much more slippery than grains are, so pater. So you were supposed to put it in a more dangerous setting, and you put it in a less dangerous setting, and it still slipped, so then you're going to be pater. Lodesh b'tvua v'dash b'kitten is chayiv. But if you were supposed to use it for tvua, and instead you use it for the more dangerous kitnis, so then you're going to be chayiv. Why? Because kitnis are considered to be more slippery, and therefore it's a more dangerous spot to put the animal in. And that's why you're going to be chayiv. Okay, says the Gemara. Our mission discussed where you did what you weren't supposed to do with the animal, either latov or lara, in either direction. But what about when you didn't do anything different? When you used it exactly as you were supposed to use it? Says Rashi, ve'ein lebala par l'tvo lo klum, ve'ilu shahayu bepu'ulaso hamanig va'ochez yachat schirim hayu. Meaning, clearly, it's not going to be the masker, it's not going to be the socher who's going to have to bear the loss. So, but there are workers who are actually working the plow and were hired for the job of working the plow. One of them must have been posheya. So, eza mehin posheya b'shvira sakankan, Rashi explains. Which one do we assume is the posheya when the metal implement, the sharp metal implement that's supposed to break into the ground, which one of the workers is going to be posheya when that implement breaks? Says Tosfos, wait a second. Says Tosfos, vim tomar, hechad deshani nami, amaylo mishalim echad min apolim, shapasha b'shvir sakankan, v'tiboy nami man mishalim. Similar to what the Mukha Yosef asked. Said, and what if you do different than you're supposed to do? Still one of the workers should have to pay. Because one of them must have been posheya, because the plow is not supposed to break, even in a mountainous region, it's not supposed to break. Granted, you used it in an area that was more dangerous for it than you were supposed to, but it still would not have broken had it not been for one of the workers being posheya. So why do the workers get off the hook just because the socher misuses it? But if the socher uses it the way he's supposed to, then the workers are going to be responsible. L'chora, the workers are posheya equally either way. So it says Tosos Yesh Lomar de Hecha de Shani Lo Meshalem de Mayri Shamasker Sapara Hu Socher Sapolim Lelech Im Paraso Velasos Melachas Socher. Meaning, when you rent the cow, you're renting the workers together with the cow, and therefore the workers are not going to have to pay, because they could say, look, you rented us al manas that we're supposed to lead the plow, lead this cow with the plow on a certain type of ground that's softer. Now, we were confident that on that type of ground, on the biko ground, we could make sure that the plow doesn't break. We're not so confident that we're good enough to make sure that the plow doesn't break in mountainous regions. You're the one that changed the terms of the agreement. You're the one that brought us to the mountainous regions. And therefore, we're not going to be chayiv, because we never took upon ourselves that kind of responsibility. We thought we were only going to have to be choresh bebika, not bahar. But when they were told to do exactly what they ended up doing, exactly in the area where they ended up going, so then one of the workers obviously is posheya, and one of the workers is going to have to bear the payment of the broken plow. So says the Gemara again, Hechad lo shani b'man mishalim. When no one was mishana, when no one did anything different than they were supposed to, when the socher brought it to exactly where he was supposed to bring it and plowed exactly where he was supposed to plow, so which worker is going to be responsible? Amar Rav Papa, the nakat parsha mishalim, the one that's holding the handle that leads the animal in the right direction, he's the one that's chiefly responsible, because he's the one that led the animal to an area that was too rocky, that was too hard for the animal to properly, for the plow to handle the terrain. Rav Shisha b'Rei d'Ravidi amar no, the nakat mana mishalim, the one that's holding the goad is the one that's gonna pay, meaning the one that's holding the rush is the kankan, the part of the plow that's the sharp object that basically what you have is you have two guys. You have one guy leading the animal to the right area where they want to plow, and the other one by the plow actually making sure that it digs into the ground, that it sticks into the ground, that the sharp metal implement goes into the ground. So Rav Shisha b'Rei d'Ravidi says that it's the one who's holding the plow, it's the guy in the back pushing the plow into the ground, he's the one that's going to have to pay, because he's the one that's impacting directly on the plow into the rocky terrain, and therefore he's the one that's breaking the plow. V'hilchsa the naked man mishalim, and that's how we paskin. V'iduchta the machzika gundari tarvayo mishalim. But if it's an area that we know has extremely rocky areas, has very, very rough terrain, and therefore both guys really should be on guard because you have to be extremely careful in such areas, then both of them have to pay. Then we assume it's the responsibility of both of them because both of them have to be extremely on guard in that type of case. Right? It says Rashi, tarvayo mishalim, shayilam lizar ma'od, ubedavar muat, she'ives, af hamanig, and even if the one who's leading the animal messes up just a little bit, brings you an inch to the left, an inch to the right, hunishbar, the plow is going to break. Vavidavar amutal besafek. And therefore, Rashi says, why are they both going to pay? Because it could have just as easily been either one of them who is really responsible over here. It may not have been the guy with the plow that was being too rough on the plow. It may have been the guy leading the animal that led to the wrong spot by just a few inches, and that's what caused the plow to break. And since we don't know which one is really responsible, halacha is mabon amutal besafek, cholkin, whenever you're not sure what to do with money, whenever we have a suffix in dinim amanus, so we divide it, we split it in half, and therefore each one is going to pay half. Asks Tosfos, that's not really the rule. Mamun amutal besafek cholkin is the shita of sumchus. We don't paskin that way. We paskin throughout Shas, hamotzi mechaver ala faraya. So you can see over here, you have two guys dealing with the plow on some level. One of them leading the animal, one of them holding the plow. We don't know which one's responsible. Rashi says they split the payment because Maman Amutal B'Savich Holkin. That's Neged the Halacha. Says Tosos, V'iduchta D'machaskinon B'Gundari Travayim B'Shalmi. Says Tosos, Pirish B'Kuntrus Mishum Davi Safek Miyasa V'ein Nire. Tosos says it seems that Rashi's incorrect. The lo kaimelon kisumchus elik rabbanon. We don't paskin like sumchus. We paskin like the rabbanon. Vamotzi mechavero alav haraya. And the real rule, when we're not sure who's going to have to pay, is if you want anyone to pay, you better prove that they're the one that's chayiv. If you have a suffik of shneim peturim, and therefore, if it were really a suffik over here, both guys should be pater, because each guy should be able to say, bring a raya that it was my fault and not the other guy's. So they should both be pater, which is not the halacha in the Gemara. The halacha in the Gemara is that they both pay. Elanira Lee says to us, Tahacha Shneyam Pashu. It's not that we don't know which one was negligent, but rather they were both negligent. Kivin the Mechaska Begundari, who Nishbar Ma'od Bekal, Vaila Kalecha Litein Leval Chaveiro Kimo Alatzmo. Each one is responsible. How could it be that if the guy holding the plow stuck it into the ground that was clearly too hard for it, that the one who's leading the animal is going to be chayiv? What way was he poshea? Since it's such rocky terrain, since it's such rough ground that they're working on, each one is responsible not only to look out for his own job, but to look out for what his friend is doing and make sure to warn him if he's going in the wrong spot and if they're doing the wrong thing. And since each one is responsible for the other, each one is a poshea on the other one as well. And since Vachrish lo Hiro gab hu pasha, since you weren't mazir, you didn't warn the guy when you saw him doing the wrong thing, you too are a poshea, and therefore they're both chayiv, they're both poshea. Why do they split the money? Because they only have to pay the money once. So they split the money because they're both poshea, not because it's a suffik. How are we going to answer for Rashi? It's a stark akasha on Rashi. No, Rashi's assuming like sumchus, and it's against the halacha. Halacha is, we always say, hamotzi mechaver olav raya. So number one, the Rashash over here simply says, according to what Tulsa says in Masechus Baba Basra Samach Beis Amud Beis, and in Becharos Staf Memches, that there are certain cases where even according to the Rabbanon we would say Mamun Amutul B'Savik Cholkin. Meaning, basically, what Tosfos says is that there are certain instances where even the Rabbanon would be Moda because they see fit, that they think it's necessary to determine that it's Cholkin and not a Motzi Mechaver Olav Haraya, that they're going to break their own rule and they're going to say Cholkin. So this might just be one of those cases. This might be, according to Rashi, one of those exceptions to the rule. However, others say differently. Rabbi Kivager says that once they're both Mekabel to be Choresh together, each one becomes an arev on the other one as well. Meaning each one becomes an arev on the other one's work. Very similar to how Tosfos understands, except maintaining Rashi's idea of a suffik. Meaning the suffik is which one was really poshea. Right? But even if I'm not the one that was really poshea, by agreeing to work together with this other guy, I'm taking responsibility, partial responsibility, for his work as well. So even if you can't prove that I'm the one that was poshea, so then I should still be chayiv midinarev. I may not be chayiv midin posheya as the one who is posheya myself, but I still might be chayiv midin arev. And Tosfos would hold that no, that's not called a suffix, because Tosfos would say once you don't know who is posheya, you can't be mechayiv midin arev, because each one should still be able to say a motzi mechaver lav raya. Why? If I could tell you, look. Why? On what charges are you? On what grounds do you want me to pay? If you want me to pay because I was poshea, prove that I was poshea. You want me to pay because he was poshea and I'm an arev, prove that I was an arev and that he was poshea. I mean, since you can't prove either side, we know one of these tzadim is true. Either I was poshea or he was poshea, but you can't tell me why you're being mechayev me. So Tosfos would say that we would still say motzi mechaver lav raya, would not have to pay. Rashi would say, no, I know that you're chayiv, I just don't know why. You're either chayiv because you yourself were Bashar, or you're chayiv because the other guy was Bashar, you didn't do anything about it. So we know you're chayiv, we just don't know why. So that you would not say, Motsi Mechaver Alav Raya, because I can prove that you are chayiv, I just don't know why, and therefore you would have to pay in that case. Okay, that's how Rabbi Kivega tries to answer up for Rashi. Okay. Says the Gemara Vayter. Says the Gemara Vayter, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amochar par lechaver v'amar lo, if I sell you a cow and I tell you, parazu nachanasi, by the way, this cow gores, it's a dangerous cow. Nashchanasi, it bites. Ba'atanasi, it kicks. Raftsanasi, it lies down on things and breaks them. V'hayba mum echad, v'sanfo be'emna mumin, and not all of those things are true. I tell you all these things are true. One of them is true. Not all of them are true. And I just put it on, you know, the one thing that is true, I stick on the list of all the rest of the mumin. Hareza mekachtos. That's mekachtos. Meaning, you can come to me and say, I didn't know the animal bites. Well, what do you mean? I told you it bites. Yeah, but you also told me it gores and it lies down on things and it kicks and it doesn't do any of those things. I thought you were joking. So therefore, it's a mekachtos. So he really thought he was joking? What does it mean he thought he was joking? So Rashi says, no, he didn't think he was joking, but he thought that he was just playing it safe. When I sell you something, I just want to make sure you don't have any tainas on me. So in order to make sure you don't have any tainas on me, I'll tell you it has every mum in the book, just to be extra certain that you don't have any tainas on me. And that's what the lokeach was thinking. He thought that you just said that it bites because you wanted to make sure that it doesn't have any tainas. After all, everything else you said is not true about the animal. So therefore, it's considered a mekach talus. It's as if you never told him about that mum. Mum ze umum acher. If I tell you, the way Rashi understands this line is, I tell you, look, it bites and it has other mumen, but I don't tell you what the other mumen are. The only one I specify is the one that it bites. Then you can't come back to me and say, I didn't know it bites. I thought you were just saying it because you didn't want me to have tennis. No, I only specified one mum. If I only specified one mum, you probably should have checked into that. And if it turns out that I wasn't lying, so you can't come and say that it's a mekach tavos just because I specified that mum. That's how Rashi understands. The Ravid understands that you mention the mum that it has, and the Kona knows that you're not lying, and he says that it has another mum, but you don't mention what that other mum is. So the Kona wants to claim mekach tavos on the other mum. So the Ravid says, that's what we're saying, Ein ze mekach tavos. It's not a mekach tavos, because I only mentioned one beferish. You knew that that one was true, so if I said it had another mum, you probably should have inquired as to what that other mum is. And the fact that you didn't, so it's not a mekach tavos. You can't claim that it's a mekach tavos. Now, what's interesting is the implication is that if I sell you an animal, and I tell you it has no mumen whatsoever, and it turns out that it's an agchanis, that it's an animal that gores, sounds like from our Gemara would be a mekach tavos, meaning all the things we're listing here are things that alone should be a mekach tavos. The only reason some of them aren't is because I listed together with 100 other things. But all these things are things that independently really should be a mekach tavos. So it sounds like from our Gemara that nagchanis alone should make it a mekach tavos. The reason that's interesting is that the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Tzadi Beis, has a machlokas Rav and Shmuel. If I sell you an animal and then it turns out to be a dangerous animal that gores all over the place, and I knew it, so there's a machlokas whether I can taina that it's not a mekach tavos because I didn't sell you the animal to keep. I sold you the animal so you could shecht it. And if you shecht it, the fact that it's a goring animal shouldn't affect you in any way. I sold it as meat. That's all I intended you to use it for. And that's Shmuel Shita. And we paskin Hilchsuk Shmuel Bedine. Right? We always paskin like Shmuel. So this Gemara seems to be against the halacha. Meaning this Gemara seems to assume that if it's a goring animal, that's enough to make it a mekachtos. Shmuel says no. If it's a goring animal, it's not a mekachtos. I could say that I sold you the animal for you to shecht it. So that's the major kasha that the Achronim deal with. So one of the terutz in the Achronim say is that maybe there's a chilik between a shar and a para. That a shar, I could say that I sold it to you for shechita. But a para can do so many other things, right? A para is for milking and for babies and for all these other things. So I can't have such a taina to you when it comes to a para that I really thought you were only going to use it for shechita. The Mishnah Mesecha Shviyas in Parakeh of Mesecha Shviyas says that Beis Hillel allows selling a para to someone who's chashal and shviyas, because after all the guy who's chashal and shviyas can shecht it. So that sounds not like this answer. It sounds like even a para, which can be used for vlados and for milking and everything else, still it's primarily it may be assumed that it's used for shechita. Another possible answer is that over here we're speaking about a case where you know that the person who's buying the animal is not buying it to shecht. You know he's someone who buys animals for Harisha, and therefore for him it's a mekachtos if the animal is a goring animal, because you knew he planned on keeping the animal alive. The Har Tzvi, however, is mitaritz perhaps the simplest answer. He says, since you listed all of the other mumen on this para, meaning in our case, what did you say? You said it's nagchanis, it's ravtsanis, it bites, it kicks, it does this, does that. Well, none of those things matter if he was planning on shechting it. So you're megala that you understood that he wasn't planning on shechting it, because none of those things should matter if he is planning on shechting it. Obviously, you understood that he was planning on using it to plow, but ain't a chinami. If you weren't aware of what he was using it for, you could taina that you thought he was planning on shechting it, but not in this case, not in our Gemara. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Tanya Namiyachi, we have a braisa that says very similar to what we just said about about selling a cow, and that is hamocher shivcha lechavero. If you sell a shivcha to your friend, va'omer lo, and you say to him, shivcha zu shotehi, this shivcha is crazy, or nichvisi, she's an epileptic, which apparently they didn't know how to treat epilepsy very well back in those days, and it was considered a terrible mum, that out of nowhere she's going to have a seizure, mishua memeshi, or she's mentally disturbed, v'hayba mum echad, and the shivcha only had one of these problems, not all of them. The son for ben amumin, but you sort of just hid it together with the other mumin. You listed it together with all the other things that it doesn't have that are not true. Hareza mekachtos. That's a mekachtos. The person can claim that I didn't know that the shivcha had this mum. Ah, you told them that the shivcha has this mum. Yes, you told them, but even though you told them, you also told them it had 100 other things that it didn't have. But if you say it has this mum and another mum, and you don't specify what the other mum is, then if it has this mum, it's not a mekachtos. The person should have realized that if you only specified one mum, that they should really look into it and make sure that it does not actually have that mum. And if they're makpid about it, they should have stopped it before the sale. Amle Ravacha Breid Ravel Ravashi, Hayiba Kala Mumin Alalu Mahu. What if it had all these mumin? What does that mean? So says Rashi, Ve'enu makbid ela al ha'echad. I gave a list of 10 mumin, and you're only makbid on one of them. Uba v'torno, kasavar yisi shatakol ba masha einba u masha yeshba. And the guy comes, the buyer comes and says, I thought you listed 10 mumin because you were trying to mention what it did have together with what it didn't have, meaning like we said before, that you just listed all together to mention even things that it didn't have. I didn't know that it actually had every single one of these mumin, and there happens to be one that I'm makbid about. So what's the din then? So Amalei Rav Mordechai the Ravat, this is different than the previous case, because previously we were talking about where it only had one of them. Most of them were not true, and you just hid one mumin amongst the list that was actually true. Over here, everything was true. There's just one that the purchaser is makbid about, and he said, I didn't realize that was true too. So that's not a mekachtos. Look, I listed you 10 mumin that it has. All of them were true. What do you want me to do? Meaning, what was I supposed to do? I was supposed to lie, make up 10 other ones? I told you everything that it has. I didn't make anything up. I was totally truthful. So that's not a mekachtos, just because the purchaser is only makbid about one of them. It's a valid sale. Okay, says the Mishnah, new Mishnah. Hasorcha sechamor lahavi If you rent a donkey and the terms of the agreement are that it's supposed to schlep wheat, and instead you have it schlep barley, which is lighter than wheat, you're going to be chayiv. Wait a second, if I put a lighter burden on it, why am I going to be chayiv? So the assumption is that because barley is lighter, I put a greater volume of it on the animal. So that's why I'm going to be chayiv for the greater volume. Tavua vehevi ala tevin chayiv, and the same if I'm supposed to bring grain, and instead I bring straw, which is lighter than grain, I'm going to be chayiv, because again, mipnei she'anefach kasha kemasui, because bulkiness is the same, is just as difficult as weight. So even though I didn't increase the weight, by increasing the bulk, I'm going to be chayiv for mistreating the animal. I was supposed to bring something that was heavier, but a smaller package of something that was heavier. By bringing a lighter package, but a larger one, I'm going to be chayiv. That's considered misusing the animal. Lahavi lesech chitin vehevi lesech sa'orin pater. If I was supposed to bring wheat, and instead a lesech of wheat, which is a measure of volume, and I bring that same volume of something lighter, then obviously I'm going to be pater, because again it was that same volume of something lighter, so I didn't increase the volume, nor did I increase the weight. In fact, it's so obvious that's pater, that the Rishonim are bothered what the chiddush is of that line. Why would you need to say that if I bring the exact volume that I was supposed to bring and a lighter weight, then I'm going to be pater? Of course I'm going to be pater. So Rabbeinu Yohanan Miluniel, according to Shittum Gvat, says that in a chinami there's no chiddush in that line. The chiddush is really the next phrase, v'imosif al masa'o chayiv, that if I add any volume to the package, I'm going to be chayiv, even though I haven't added weight to the package. If I add volume to the package, I'm going to be chayiv. And that's the whole chiddush. The chiddush is not about the previous line where you didn't add anything, and adrabi, you gave a lighter burden. That's obviously going to be pater. The Ravid has different. He thinks that there is a chiddush, but whatever, we're not going to get into it now. V'kama Yosef al Masel v'yechayiv, how much do you have to add in order to be chayiv? Sum chasom mishum rameir saw legamel shlosha kavan lechamar. One saw for a camel, three kav for a donkey. That's the amount that you have to add, the amount of volume you have to add in order to be chayiv. If you add less than that, so it's considered a negligible difference. Itmar, Abaye Yomar Kasha Kamasui Tanan. The way we translate our mission until now is like Abaye says, that when we say that you add volume, any addition of volume, even if the added volume does not equal up to added weight, right, to weight, you were supposed to bring wheat that weighed 100 pounds. Right? You were supposed to bring a certain measure of volume of wheat that weighed 100 pounds. You ended up bringing barley in greater volume, but it only weighed 90 pounds. So Abaye says you're still going to be chayiv. That's what the Mishnah is saying. The greater volume, we don't care if it weighs less. If it's greater volume, you're going to be chayiv. Rava Amar Kasha L'masvei Tanan. Rava says, no, you're only going to be chayiv for greater volume if the volume is so much greater that it equals up to the weight of what you were supposed to bring. I was supposed to bring wheat that weighed 100 pounds. I'm only going to be chayiv for increased volume of barley if the barley that I bring totals 100 pounds. If I bring 95 pounds of barley and that's way bigger than the package of 100 pounds of wheat, I'm still not going to be chayiv. Only once I've added so much volume that the weight of the lighter thing equals the weight of what I was supposed to bring, of the heavier thing that I was supposed to bring. That's Rava's Shita. Abaye Yomar Kasha Kamasui Tanan Nafcha Kitikla. Abaye says straight up, volume is the same as weight. An increase in volume is the same as an increase in weight. V'imosef shlosha kav and chayiv. And therefore, if you add three kavs of volume, you're going to be chayiv. Rava Yomar Kasha Limasui Tanan Tikla Kitikla V'nafcha V'tosefes. Weight equals weight, and any, meaning the 100 pounds equals 100 pounds, and if therefore I bring 100 pounds of barley instead of 100 pounds of wheat, and there's extra bulk in the barley, so I'm going to be chayiv for that extra bulk. But if I bring 95 pounds of barley, even though the volume may be greater than the volume of 100 pounds of wheat, since it's less weight, I'm going to be pater. Tnan, Lahavi Lasakit and Baby Lasak Sa'orin Pater, Vimosva Masao Chayiv. We mentioned in our Mishnah that if you're supposed to bring a Lasakh of Chitin, you bring a Lasakh of Sa'orin, your Pater, but if you add to that, you're going to be Chayiv. By Lav, Shloshas Kavin, doesn't that mean that if I add three Kavin to it, I'm going to be Chayiv? And the point is that's exactly like Abaye, that since I've added volume to it, I'm going to be chayiv, even though I have not added weight to the package, so, and I actually have less weight. So this is very low. So even if you add it's saying no, only if you add a sa'a, you're supposed to bring a lesach of chitin, and you brought a lesach of sa'orin, you're pater, even though you're mishana, because you're mishana lahakel. But if you add to the point that the barley weighs as much as the wheat that you were supposed to bring, then you're going to be chayiv. But doesn't the end of the Mishnah say you're only going to be chayiv if you add this amount of volume? So it says, what it means to say at the end is, when you didn't change from what you were supposed to do, when you brought the exact item you were supposed to bring, chitin vehevi chitin, sa'orin vehevi sa'orin, right? You were supposed to bring wheat and you did, you were supposed to bring barley and you did, then kama Yosef al masov yechayev. Then how much of an increase in volume is going to be mechayev you? Sumcha som rishum remeir sal legamal shoshakam lechamar. Then that's what the Mishnah is saying at the end. Meaning essentially, the way Abaye understands the end of the Mishnah, when we give these measurements, Abaye is saying when you add this volume, even if you've chosen a lighter grain to schlep, but this volume is always going to be mechayev you, because adding more volume is like adding more weight, and it's a problem. Rav is going to say, no, adding this volume, if it doesn't equal up to the amount of weight that you were supposed to originally take, is not going to be a problem. This last line of the Mishnah is not talking about where you're schlepping something lighter than you were supposed to. It's talking about where you're schlepping exactly what you're supposed to. I mean, the way Abaye understands it is the second half of the Mishnah is simply an explanation of the first half of the Mishnah. According to Rav, it's two separate halachos. First half of the Mishnah is about someone who's supposed to bring wheat and instead brings the lighter barley. Second half of the Mishnah is where you bring exactly what you're supposed to bring. And it tells you when you're bringing exactly what you're supposed to bring, so then there's a certain amount of added volume that you're going to be chayiv for. Tashma, so we try to bring a raya. Lavi lesach chitin. If you're supposed to bring a lesach of chitin, which it's important to point out now, is the same as 15 sa'ah of chitin. Vehevi, and instead you bring sheshesre sa'orin. 16 sa'ah of sa'orin, which is the same weight as 15 sa'ah of wheat. Important to know. You were supposed to bring 15 sa'ah of wheat. You bring a little more volume of barley, which equals the same weight as the wheat that you're supposed to bring. Chayiv. So it sounds like you're going to be chayiv. The implication is, hashloshes kavin pater, that had it been any less, that had you increased the amount by only 3 kavs instead of by an entire sa'ah, which is 6 kavs, had you increased the volume by only 3 kavs, you would have been pater, which is very much like Rava. Rava is saying, why are you chayiv here? Because you brought something lighter, but you added so much volume to what you were bringing that was lighter, that the weight ended up equaling what your original weight was supposed to be. That's why you're going to be chayiv. But if there was just an increase in volume and no increase in weight, you're going to be pater. That's exactly what Rava holds. So Tirgum Abaye b'mechikasa. So Abaye says, no, that we're talking about measurement that was the masa chamar, the lesach that you brought on the chamar was an overflowing measurement, and it wasn't mechukos, it wasn't considered, it wasn't evened out on the top. So the tes zayin, the 16 that we were talking about, were mechukos, meaning up until now we were talking about high-piled wheat. But now we're talking about where it's mechukos. So that mechukos means that you won't really only added three kavin, you didn't add an entire sa'ah. So since you only added 3 kavin, that's exactly like Abaye said. That's why you're chayiv, because you added 3 kavin. Not that you added 6, and that's why you're chayiv, but had you added 3, you'd be pater. Yitaka really added only 3. Okay, there's a different pshat in that line of the Gemara that Rashi quotes from somebody. He says, Anisha Mati, that mechikasa means that you brought rotted grain, and rotted grain is apparently much lighter. So Rashi doesn't like it though. He says, because mali hitliu, mali lo hitliu, reish kan nefech shalasach v'shloshes kavin. Meaning, what difference does it make if it's rotted or if it's not rotted? The point is, you added 3 kavs of volume. So why do I care that it weighs a lot less? Meaning, it just regular sa'orim weighs a little less. But the rotted sa'orim weighs a lot less. So what? It weighs a lot less. Bottom line is, you still added the volume, so the kasha would still be the same. And according to Abaye, if you added 3 kavs of volume, even if the weight is not quite as heavy, you should still be chayiv. So Rashi says he doesn't like that pshat, that it was hitliya, and therefore it's much lighter. Tosa says it's not really such a bad pshat, because Tosa says you have to acknowledge that weight means something. Meaning, you have to acknowledge that there's a big difference between when something is 95, I was supposed to bring 100 pounds and a certain volume, and I add volume and bring 95 pounds. So that you could say, okay, the volume makes it bad. But if I bring something that weighs 4 pounds, you know, with more volume, It's hard to say that that's called overtaxing the animal, overburdening the animal. I mean, there is some point where the weight is so much lower that even with the additional volume, the way Tosa says, if the Tanai was that the animal is supposed to schlep iron or rocks, and you instead have it carry feathers, so granted it's going to be a much larger volume of feathers, but come on, you got to admit that that according to anybody, that volume doesn't make up for the decrease in weight, and that's going to be okay. Says Gemara Vayter, Tanu Rabbanan, Kav L'Kasef, if when you're dealing with someone, a person who schleps, so the extra volume that you can add without being chayiv, or the minimum volume to add that you're going to be chayiv for adding too much, is a kav. Adriv la Ariva, an adriv for a small boat. Again, we're talking about how much volume added is going to be considered negligence. And are you going to be chayiv when you rent and you overburden the thing that you rent? So for a small boat, it's an adriv, which is about a lesech, Rashi says. Kor l'svina, a kor for a regular boat. Shloshes krum l'borni gedola, and three korim for a very large boat. Amar mar, kav l'kasef. So we said that if you have a man schlepping for you, then adding the volume of a kav is considered bad. So misa delo matzibe bardasu l'shadya. So it says, Amar, why? If he feels he can't carry it, he's a bardas, he's a human being. Let him not carry it, let him throw it off. Why are you going to be chayiv for misusing this guy and putting a heavier weight on him or a larger burden on him? He's a human being, let him figure it out himself. Some rabbi bishchaf to the altar. Now, rabbi says he didn't have time to throw it off. You throw the package on his back and he buckles right away, right under the package. Rava amar afilu tem b'shalochav to the altar. No, it could even be that he didn't buckle right away. Lo tzricha la'agri yaseira. Now, the point over here is that yes, he may carry it, but you better pay him a little extra if he's carrying that greater volume. Ravashi amar hu savar chulsho d'nakadei. Ravashi says, no, he didn't realize that it was because of the weight of the package that he was feeling weak. He thought he was just getting tired and he's feeling a little bit weak. He didn't realize that it was beyond his ability to carry this package. Either way, the Ramban is bothered by how exactly are you a mazik? Meaning, by the cases where I rent your cow and I overburden it, the reason I'm chayiv is because I'm a shomer on your cow. And a shomer has to be careful not to be posheya, not to be negligent with what I'm watching. I rent your boat, I'm a shomer on your boat. But I rent you, I'm a shomer on you? I'm not a shomer on you. So what's mechayiv me? What am I, adam amazik? I damaged you directly? I didn't damage you directly. I said, can you pick up that package? And you picked up that package. I didn't damage you. You damaged yourself. So by what means are you going to be chayim? So according to the first answer that we gave, Abaye's answer, that I threw the package on him and he buckles right away. So that I could hear. That's adam amazik. Right, I threw a heavy package on him and he right away buckles underneath it. That's no different than me taking a rock and throwing it at a guy and it hurts him. Right, so that I understand very well. But the other case is very difficult to understand what the chiyuv is. That's the Ramban's kasha over here. That's the Ramban's kasha. The Ritva says that the Dar Sameach rather is miyashev the Ramban by saying that maybe the chiyuv is midin mamono amazik, like avno sakino masao, that I leave Barosh Agag and ruach comes and blows it off and I'm going to be chay for the damage of my money that does damage. So over here it's also mamono amazik because the burden is my mamon, so maybe it's mamono amazik. Okay, says Gemara Vayta, kor l'svina shloshes kor l'borni gedola. So we said that the amount of overburdening in volume on a boat is a kor, and for a large boat, three kor. Amar Papa Shramina stam svinos bas tlasin kurin. What you see from here is that the average boat can hold 30 cores. L'may nafkamina l'mekka chumemkar. Why do we care what the average boat can hold? So nafkamina l'mekka chumemkar, because you see that adding 1/30th of the volume is considered to be overburdening. So based on that, we could figure out that, meaning we saw by the camel, 1/30th of the volume is considered overburdening. So if we say that a core l'svina, it must be that the entire volume of what the boat is supposed to hold is 30 cores. Unclear why we dafka pick on, the Rashash points out, unclear dafka why we pick on svina as opposed to borni gedola or the areva, the small boat, and why we dafka only care about the mekka chumemkar issue when it comes to svina and not by the other cases, but okay, but that's what the Gemara picks on. Says the Mishnah, Kala umnin shomrei sacharein. Any worker who's supposed to kablan, who's supposed to do a job for you, and you have him. Let's say you give him your suit to tailor, you give him your car to fix, right? Any of these types of workers, they're all shomrei sachar. They bear the responsibility of a shomer sachar. The mechanic bears the responsibility of a shomer sachar on your car while he's fixing it. And meaning in terms of he's not a shomer chinam who's going to be pata from gnev aveda. His shomer sachar is going to be chayv in gnev aveda. V'kulan shomru tola shalach v'havei ma. But once the mechanic calls you up and says, you can come pick up your car anytime you want, and even if you don't have the money right now, you can come pick up your car anytime you want, and you'll pay me whenever you have the money, then he becomes a Shomer Chinam. So long as you haven't picked up your car, he's only a Shomer Chinam, he's going to be part of from Gnei Vaveda. Shomer Li Ve'eshmer Lach, Shomer Sachar. If someone says to you, you watch my car and I'll watch your car, so then he's a Shomer Sachar. Because you're paying him to watch your car by doing him the service of watching his car. Shomer Li Ve'amalei Hanach Lefanai. If you ask the guy, can you watch this for me? And he says, put it down right there. Shomer Chinam, that's a Shomer Chinam. Hilvo al a Mashkon Shomer Sachar. If someone lends with a Mashkon, so you're a Shomer Sachar on the Mashkon. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rashi says, Lvala Mashkon is Shomer Sachar. Why? What schar do you get? You lent him money. What schar are you getting? What payment are you getting? So Rashi says, schar mitzvah. You're getting paid for doing a mitzvah. You're getting schar mitzvah from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is paying you. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lvala Ma'al Shomer Chinam, Lvala Peiro Shomer Sachar. Rabbi Yehuda says, come on. Schar mitzvah doesn't count in halacha in terms of determining dini mamonis. So no, you're a Shomer Chinam if you lent him money. Ah, but if you lent him peiros, then you're a Shomer Sachar. Then you're actually getting paid for the mashkon that you're watching. Why are you getting paid? Because I couldn't eat all those peros now anyway. So I'm renting in peros that if I were to keep them around my house, they would eventually rot. In a month from now, 2 months from now, when I want peros, he's going to give me fresh peros. So therefore, I'm benefiting from this deal, and therefore it's considered that I'm getting paid to watch this mashkon. So I'm a Shomer Sachar. Abishalom, Rashi Adam Mahaskir Mashkonu Shalani, Leos Posik Vahalik Alav Neshu Kamesh Vaveda. That if I have a mashkon from a poor person, I'm allowed to rent it out to other people and get income from that, and thereby decrease the amount of money that the ani owes me. Right, an ani owes me $1,000, and he gives me a mashkon to watch. I can rent it out for $100 a week, so that after 10 weeks, he won't owe me any money anymore, and I'll be able to give him his mashkon back. So it's like meshev aveda. I'm doing him a favor by renting it out by causing there to be some income from this mashkon, so he won't owe me any money. So it says Gemara Lemas Nisan Lo Rameir. Our Mishnah seems to be against Rameir. Detanya Socha Ketzim Shalim Rameir Amar Kishamar Chinam Rabbi Domer Kishamar Sachar. How does the Socha pay? Rameir says a socher pays like a shomer chinam. Rabbi Yehuda says a socher pays like a shomer sachar. Now, what's the point? The point is over here that an uman is very much like a socher because he's doing it for his own benefit because he wants to use it. Meaning, the uman is benefiting because it's his job, and the socher is benefiting because he wants to use the item. And yet, you see, Rameir holds that a socher has a din of a shomer chinam against our Mishnah. So the Gemara is going to give four answers. Answer number one: Afilu tem Rameir beyana dekashav kuli alma va'agulei l'day havi lavei shomer sachar. Our Mishnah might even be like Rav Meir, but still there's hana'a by the uman more than by the socher, because you chap hana'a from the fact that he chose you to be his tailor. He chose you to be his mechanic and not anybody else. And that's considered payment. So by a socher also, he chose you to be the one that he's going to rent his car to. So that's also a geshmak. So it says Gemara Ella, second answer. I feel him Rav Meir by he by an uman, the fact that he's slightly going to overpay, that overpayment is what makes you shomer sachar. Says Mar Sochanami, Milaskin to Kamash Vilay Tfei Porta. But by sachar also, maybe you'll slightly undercharge him for the rental, and by that he becomes a shomer sachar. So he says, no, Ella, the difference between a sachar and an uman is as follows. Afilu Tem Rameir, Bahiyana, the toughest lay agre, the loboy lemeil, mepekazuze, havile shomer sachar. You know why the uman is a shomer sachar? Because he's not even going to have to go after you for the money. He'll just hang on to your car until you pay him. So because he has that advantage, that's what makes him a shomer sachar. Fourth possible answer, the Gemara says in totally different lines, Iba Yisema, maybe we got Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda backwards. Kedemachlef Rabba Baravua Vitani, Socher Ketzim Meshalim, Rabbi Meir Omer Kishomer Sachar, and Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kishomer Chinam. Maybe we just mixed up the Shitos. And Rameir, in fact, holds Shomer Sachar. And then, so why don't we then ask, so Rabbi Yehuda's against our Mishnah? Because that's not a problem. Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. The whole problem was that Rabbi Meir shouldn't be against our Mishnah. So if we switch around the sheet of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda and the Braisa, it works out very beautifully with the Mishnah. Okay, pick up at the two dots tomorrow.